I'm grateful to be a part of a church like this where there's so many people who are just hungry, thirsty for God and seeking His presence. So thank you. The atmosphere we experience here is that it's the atmosphere we all create by responding with faith and belief in who Jesus is and opening our hearts to Him. So thank you so much for being a part of this worship experience this morning. I want to tell you about something that we would consider a great tool to help you in your relationship with God. It's the word for you today. It's a daily devotion that we provide for our church right out there at the Connection Center, a little table next to it. You can get one of these for free. Take as many as you want. Give them to your friends and family. If you're tech savvy, there's even a way to get an app for the word for you today. But it's a great way to help you start your day or to engage with God. A very simple, half-page little devotionals, but it redirects our focus. It helps us get going. For some of us who don't have a habit of spending time with God in the Word, this is a great way to start. It's real simple. It takes 5 minutes or less, and it's a great way to kind of get you on the path of spending time personally with God. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that. The other thing I want to talk about real quick, Mark already mentioned it, but it's the Christmas project here at Harvest Christian Fellowship. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10, it says this, "As long as you have opportunity, do good to all people." But then it puts a priority statement. It says, "Especially to those of the household of faith." What does that mean? It's like, do good to everyone, but especially take care of your own. Amen? The household of faith would be our church. So the Christmas project, really, probably we should name it something that sounds so much better because people are not projects, okay? But a project is something that we need to get done. You ever have a project list? And you have to look at that and you put at the very top the most important thing that needs to get done. I'm telling you, this needs to get done this Christmas. There's 75 to 100 people right here in our church who will not have Christmas if we don't help them. And I'm telling you what, I don't want anybody to wake up on Christmas morning without at least one gift under that tree. How about you? I've never had the experience of not being blessed with a gift or some kind of special attention on Christmas. I've always been so privileged that my family's been there for me. Some people are less fortunate right now, and you know, we do good. We did Angel Tree, and so many of y'all jumped on that, and we love that. That's helping our city. A bunch of you guys volunteer and serve in so many different charitable organizations, but this right here is taking care of our own. And I'm telling you, the way we handle this is the people that we're going to help are not the people who are going to raise their hand and say, "I need your help." They're just hardworking, good people who have fallen on hard times. And we don't make a big deal about it. We do it very discreetly. We don't embarrass anybody. But I'm telling you, I get to watch the faces of people every year as we give them the ability to give their children gifts at Christmas. I hope you'll prayerfully be a part of that. No arm twisting at all. Just pray. Just ask God how much that you could give to help with the Christmas project. Like I said, it's about 75 to 100 people. We're trying to raise $15,000 to help each of those people have a great Christmas. So pray about that and ask God how you could help. Let's say a prayer about that together, and then let's move forward with a new series called God is a Builder. Lord, we thank you that you've given us opportunity to be a blessing to those who are less fortunate for a season in their life. God, we thank you that we all live in abundance. Most of us have more than enough. We've got it running over. We have stuff that we can't even find a place to store. And so, Lord, I thank you that we're so blessed. And we just ask that you would enable us this Christmas to be a blessing to those who need it. And Lord, I pray over this message that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would speak to us. We're counting on you, Holy Spirit, to interpret the words of this message into every individual's mind and heart. And we pray that you would put upon me today the gift of a teacher, because I believe, God, that this information is so important. If we could truly understand it and learn it, that it would change our lives. So I ask that you would do that through me and through us and in us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we did a 4-week series in the book of Haggai, we talked about the fact that God was speaking to us, and the main idea in the book of Haggai was consider your ways. And what had happened with that group of people was God had sent them back to Jerusalem for one purpose, to rebuild the temple, and they had gotten distracted and started building their own houses. So their agenda had been hijacked by personal self-interest. You see what I'm saying? And so we said, God's given us the same message, just in our modern setting, rebuild the temple. The temple is the people. Corinthians clearly says it. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the message that God was bringing us is build my house and do it first with priority. And so as we try to respond to what God is saying to us, we kind of summed it up this way. Why do I exist? To bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and build his church. Those are my two highest priorities of my life. Why do I draw breath? Why do I have energy? Why do I have resource? So I can bring honor to Jesus Christ and help him build his church, which is the people of God. It's not a building, it's not a facility, it's not a special place. It's the people being fitted together as living stones to build up what the Bible calls a spiritual house. Now, so I think we all agreed that God was speaking to us, but it's one thing to hear a message and go, whoo, God spoke to us. It's another thing to take action and actually live out those words. So this next 3 weeks, we're going to be learning how we can put feet to our prayers, so to speak. We can put action and application to the voice of God that came through us through the book of Haggai. So here we go. Installment number one, God is a builder. God builds revelationally. What does that mean? God reveals himself to people. And the subtitle here would be hearing the voice of God, listening to, understanding, comprehending what God is saying to his church. Now, I want to give you an illustration. I hope this helps. In my hand, I'm holding something very important. Where's the camera? But can you see what is in my hand? Oh, a revelation. I have the keys to the kingdom. Thank you, front row, for courtesy laughter. Here, let me give you another one. Can you tell me what's in my hand? It's a peppermint. Good job. Let's try it again. Try to conceal it better this time. Can you? You better not be able to see what this is. It's a quarter. See that? You just experienced revelation. You can't see it, then you can see it. That's all revelation is. Sometimes people get scared when you bring up the word revelation, right? Like you're thinking the book in the end of the Bible and dragons and fire and things flying around and stuff. That's not what this series is about. Revelation is when something is revealed. It's when you understand something better. You see something you couldn't have seen before. Have you ever been to the theater? They have these huge, thick curtains, and a lot of them just go straight up. Some of them part like this to the sides. Have you ever seen it where the curtain goes straight up? It's like, whoa, and you see what, it's revealed to you what is behind the curtain. Revelation is simple. I want you to understand this is how God builds his church. You have to receive revelation, and when you receive revelation, you see something new. You experience something greater. You may have read the same passage of Scripture 50 times, but on the 51st time, you get it. Like the light comes on, you're like, oh, have you seen this? Oh my goodness, God. Have you ever had that experience? You're like, you get it. Whoa, awesome. The light comes on. I want to talk about revelation in the context of what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 15. So Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? And Peter answers right here. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. Go on to verse 18. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. What did he say? He said, God revealed to Simon who Jesus is. I have a question for you today. Has Jesus been revealed to you? I see a lot of heads nodding yes. Do you remember that moment, that day, that season of life where Jesus revealed himself to you? You recognized that you were a sinner. You needed the cleansing of his forgiveness. You may have walked to the front of a church. You may have grabbed hands with somebody, but somewhere you prayed. You acknowledged your sins. You asked Jesus to forgive you. And the Bible says he washes you clean. He saves you by grace. He enters into your life and lives in you through the Holy Spirit. As little kids say it, right? I asked Jesus into my heart. Do you remember that moment? Here's what I want to tell you. If you're a Christian today and you remember that moment, if you've received Christ, then you already know how to receive revelation. Here's the way we say it a lot of times. The way in is the way on. We complicate this so much. You know, one of the biggest questions we get from people is, how do I hear from God? How do I know when I'm hearing from God? How do I know if that was just me, or if I just had a weird thought, or was the devil talking to me? How do I understand all this stuff? Have you ever heard people that are wrestling with it? Because we want to know how to hear from God. We want God to reveal himself to us, and we overcomplicate it in our humanity. If little children can understand Jesus, then you can continue to understand him and receive revelation day by day by day. I cannot live today on yesterday's revelation. I need the freshness of God showing himself to me today. Don't you? Okay, well, just talk back a little bit and help me. Here's what I want you to understand. Peter got who Jesus was, not because he was the brightest kid in the class. It's because God revealed his son to Peter. His name was Simon. It says in verse 18, he changed his name in the moment he got revelation. And here's what it means. You got to understand this with me. You are Peter. If you break it down in the original language, Peter means little rock, which would be really a boulder. Okay, like that's a big rock, but it's a little rock compared to the other word, because Jesus says, upon this rock, not Peter, the little rock, but this bedrock of revelation, upon this rock of understanding who Jesus is, what's he going to do? On this firm foundation, he's going to build his church. Woo! Come on, man. Jesus is going to build his church. How? Upon the revelation of who he is. With people who understand who he is, he will build his church through those kind of people. Every one of us in here who've received Christ could be called Peter, a little rock that's suitable for building. And God's going to fit all these little rocks together and build this incredible edifice for the kingdom of God to enter into the earth. But you got to understand, there are two different words in verse 18. Peter is boulder, rock of revelation. That rock is like the cap rock. Some of you go, I don't even know what the cap rock is. Well, you know when you drive off of it, okay? Because it starts, there's breaks out there and there's trees and hills and valleys and everything else up here is flat. Do you know why it's flat? Because we are living, all this wonderful topsoil is sitting on top of a bedrock. It's called the cap rock. You comprehend with me the difference in Peter, a boulder, and the revelation of who Jesus is, the caprock to build upon. You hear me, church? Upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. Well, God was speaking to us in Haggai. Return to the priority of building my church, my people. So how are we going to respond? How are we going to build with God? Here's the first thing. Take the pressure off, church. It's not your job to build the church. You see what it said in verse 18? Jesus said, I will build my church. Whew, thank you, God. I was getting stressed out. Because I don't know how to build your church. Here's what he needs. He needs available, surrendered people. And then he'll build through you. God's preferred way of building his church is building it through you. You go and you share the love of Christ with someone else. You go and you serve someone else. You go and you lead a group of people into worship. You go and treat others with integrity and respect. You are the building material that God wants to build his church. Come on, man. If this is what God's calling us to, we've got to understand it. And so I ask God to make me into a teacher for this, but I still want to preach at you. This teaching was revelation. This thing about God builds, I didn't dream this up. It came from the scripture. It got handed down from this person to this person to this person. It's been handed down to me. And God wants us to understand that this is vital if we're going to put building his church first. It's an awesome experience to receive revelation in the kingdom of God. And God wants to give you revelation so he can build with you and through your life. So here's the big idea for today. This revelation I would call hearing God. So hearing God, receiving revelation, is not a formula. It's a relationship. 2 + 2 = 4. But 2 + 2 doesn't equal hearing God. How you hear from God, how you receive revelation, is going to be unique to you. Now, I'm going to give you 4 ways that you can hear from God. But even in those 4 ways, it's going to be unique to your personality, your gifting, your worldview, your perspective. Everything about you is unique. There's no one else like you on the planet. And God, through his Holy Spirit, will reveal himself to you moment by moment, day by day. So the question is, how can I hear from God? Well, let's just talk about 4 practical, simple ways that we could learn to hear from God. Because if we are going to respond to the voice of God to our church, return to the focus of building my house first, then we've got to know how God builds. Number one way God builds is revelationally. How can I hear from God? How can I receive revelation? Number one, his holy word. God speaks to us through his word. So as the Holy Spirit highlights scripture, we need to then meditate on it and meditate in it. What does that mean? This is not a casual thing. This is something you intentionally engage with God through his word. That's why I'm advertising the word for you today. That's why I'm always challenging you to pick up your Bible and read it, because this is the number one easiest way to hear from God. Let me give you some biblical references. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'll be honest with you. I don't exactly like the way God leads me all the time. I like that God leads me, but I'm not always comfortable with the way he leads me. See, I want to see the movie from beginning to end. I want to know what happens here, 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 and how it's going to end. Don't you? But God doesn't do it that way. Here's what he said. My word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when this was written, it wasn't talking about halogen lamps, LEDs that shine way out in the distance. No, man, this is like a little candle that lights up my feet and a little lantern that shows me about 10 yards ahead of me. You know what? Most of us don't like God's way of revealing himself to us through his word. We want to see the whole thing. And we get frustrated with it when he doesn't show us the whole thing. He says, hey, man, this is easy. Just get out your little lamp and your light, and here we go. Do what I say today. Well, God, I'm trying to plan out the next 15 years. And I'm trying to make a plan for retirement. And I'm trying to make a plan for the generations after me. Continue to plan. It's wonderful. But here's what the word of God says. Man makes plans, but God orders our steps. If you're going to get on the path with God, you need the word of God to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Now, let me illustrate to you how God can speak through his word. This is simple. Ephesians 4, verse 32. I'm going to skip one, guys, back there. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another. People should have read that before Black Friday. I mean, people punch each other and run over each other to get a good deal on an iPad or something like that. I mean, this is revelation to some people. Be kind to one another. Oh my God spoke to me today. Hey, most of the Bible is that clear. It doesn't take a theology degree. It doesn't take a master's of divinity. It doesn't take your doctorate in biblical studies to understand. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ, God in Christ, forgave you. Listen, guys, most of the problems we run into on a daily basis would be remedied if we just obeyed what we read in the Word that is plain as day. Be kind. Treat others the way you want to be treated. See, get the basics down before you start trying to get revelation about the future. Before you start trying to be a prophet to the nations, prophesy to yourself. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but even in our blessed, beloved church, Harvest Christian Fellowship, there are some angry Christians. People walking around like, somebody got their parking spot. Bless God. Don't they know I'm parking? Somebody got their seat at church. Somebody cut them off in traffic. And we forget about be kind to one another. Maybe we just need to slow down enough to let the word be a lamp to my feet again. I'm not even promised tomorrow. Why am I trying to plan 50 years in the future? Hearing God, receiving revelation is not a formula, it's a relationship. Any good relationship, healthy relationship, takes time, energy, focus, and resources. Are you with me? If you want to have a good relationship with anyone, it takes time. It takes energy. It takes focus on making that relationship a priority, and it takes resources. You can spend a little money in that direction if you're going to really have a good relationship with your honey. Right, ladies? I can't believe I didn't get an amen. Okay, none of the women in here care about material things. But in first service, they did. Okay, so y'all pray for the first. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, any relationship takes time, energy, focus, and resource. So how would you measure how you're doing in your relationship with God? Well, I come to church every Sunday. Great. Hey, once a month, I even go to one of those life groups. I mean, like, am I not an A-plus Christian now? In all of these meetings and all of this stuff doesn't define whether you have a relationship where you're hearing the voice of God, where the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. So the number one way to hear from God is to read his written word and let it speak to you. Okay, number two way to hear from God is his counsel. I told you these are simple, but this is very important. This is basic Christianity if we're going to be on God's building team. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And it goes on, or sit at the seat of scoffers and all this stuff. But the one who meditates in the word of God both day and night. So who do you surround yourself with? Who's giving you counsel? You go, I'm not getting counsel from anybody. Yes, you are. Who are you listening to? Even if it's the news or talk radio or the gossip session somewhere in town, you're listening to someone, and that is serving as counsel for you. Do you know this world is full of negativity? Do you know the word of God says, be careful who you listen to, because by your standard of measure, it's going to be measured right back to you. So if you're listening to a lot of negativity, you're building a bigger and bigger container for negativity in your life. And you're going to be searching for places to fill your tank of negativity. I tell you what, I don't listen to the news anymore. Am I informed? Yes. I read it enough to know what's going on, but that's it. Because most of the news is just negativity. I'm gonna tell you what, church, I'm gonna listen to people who are speaking life. I'm going to listen to people who are speaking God's word. I'm going to listen to people who are showing love and kindness and serving other people. I'm not going to let this culture be my counselor. How about you? There is a way that seems right to men, but in the end it leads unto destruction. But there's a way in God that leads to life. Be careful who you listen to. Let me read some important scriptures. Proverbs 11, verse 14. This is a second way to hear from God, to build with God by revelation, is to hear him through the counsel of godly people. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Other translation says there is much victory. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with God alone, you still need godly counsel. Godly counsel always agrees with his word. If you think somebody's godly and they tell you something contrary to the word, you need to put a big question mark and seek it out further. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. The number one reason why people miss God is because they don't listen to godly counsel. There, let me tell you an Old Testament story that illustrates this really well. You remember King Solomon? He was the second king of Israel. It was David, then Solomon, and after Solomon came his son Rehoboam. Well, at the end of Solomon's life, he had gotten grouchy, probably because of too many wives. come on, I got some. Thank you. I love you for laughing at that. No, but he got grouchy and angry and mean. And he started oppressing the people. And so when Solomon died, the people came to Rehoboam, the next king, and said, would you please show us mercy and not be so hard and punishing toward us? And if you'll let off a little bit, man, we will serve you all the days of our life. So Rehoboam listened to him, and then he did two things. He went to the older people. You can read this in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. He went to the older people, the elders, and asked them, what should I do in response to this? And all of the older people in his life gave him godly counsel and said, you need to listen to them. You need to lay off of them. You need to treat them with kindness, and they will serve you all the days of their life, and you will have happiness in your kingdom. Well, Rehoboam did a second thing, which was not smart. He talked to his buddies. He talked to his peers. And all of his buddies said, you need to show them who's boss. Here's what you need to tell them. You need to tell them, you think my dad was tough? I'm 10 times tougher. There's more strength in my pinky than there was in my dad's fist. Now submit. And that's exactly what he told the people. Guess what? They revolted. He had unhappiness all of his days. He could have listened to the counsel of the wise. Listen to me. Your peers are not your best counselors. Now, can your peers hear from God and that's great and wonderful? Yes, but I'm going to tell you right now, the most important people in my life are the people who are a generation older than me, or two or three. They have experience that I don't have. They have wisdom that I won't know until I'm in their position. The gray-headed people in my life are the most valuable counselors that I could have. So here's the deal. Hear God through his word, and then find some old people to listen to. I want to tell you right now, I so value the senior citizens in our church. Listen, our culture says you get to a certain age, you're not valuable. I'm telling you, you're the most valuable you've ever been in your life. We need you. You have godly wisdom, and we are looking for it. We all need godly counsel. If you don't think you need it, I'll pray for you. Hearing God, receiving revelation is not a formula, it's a relationship. God's word, God's counsel through godly, wise people. Now, just because somebody's older doesn't mean they're godly. You need to check their resume. You need to look at their fruit. Listen, here's how I judge who I'll listen to. Look at their fruit. Miles Sweeney comes and teaches Kingdom Families at our church. You know why I listen to him? Because I've personally met every one of his adult children. They're good people, they're hardworking, and they love the Lord with all their heart. So I'm going to listen to him as a teacher of how to raise my kids. See what I'm saying? Now, in your business, in your marriage, whatever, look at somebody's fruit and then listen to what they have to say if they have godly good fruit in their life. This is really simple stuff. Now, what's the point? God is a builder. God's word to our church is return to the priority of building my church. How are we going to do it? By learning to receive revelation from God on a personal level on a daily basis through his word, through his counsel. Number three, through his peace. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Follow the peace. It's one of the best pieces of advice I ever received. Follow the peace. So I can't tell you that, but you know. You know when it's chaotic or turmoil or confusion, and you know when it's peace. Like a body of water in the early morning when there's no wind, no waves, it's just crystal clear. Listen to God by looking for his peace. When you're needing to make a decision, consult his word, obviously be in prayer, ask for godly counsel, and then follow the peace of God in your life. Number four, his voice. This is so simple. John 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs another way, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 27 sums it all up. This is Jesus speaking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say, I am a sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd. Come on, church, he's speaking to you. We don't know much about sheep out here. We know a lot about cattle. To get cattle to go anywhere, you have a cattle drive. You know, the cowboy doesn't walk out and say a few words and shake something and beat his staff on the ground and the cows just line up and follow him. I've never seen that happen, have you? No, you get horses and four-wheelers and cow dogs and whatever you can. You herd them into the pen and you got to run them through the chute. See, sheep aren't like that. Sheep literally hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow. I mean, we know nothing about this. But Jesus knew everything about it. And he said, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And my sheep hear me and they follow me. And people all over the church say, I don't know how to hear God. How did you get saved? You heard God. The way in is the way on. God will speak to you very similarly throughout your whole life. Yeah, you'll learn new ways to hear from God as you seek him through the word, as you look for godly counsel, as you look and inspect your own heart for the peace of God. But listen, the way you hear God is the way you hear God. Some people see pictures. Some people have illuminated thoughts. Some people have dreams. But most of us hear him by reading his word and following his principles. And then he'll make it personal to you, just like a personal relationship. Let me give you an example. 22 years ago, I married into the Wright family. If you don't know my wife, she has two other sisters. So it's mom and dad and three girls. Monica, Julie, and Aaron. I married the middle child. And here's what they used to do to me. Middle child and baby child sound the same on the phone. And Aaron goes to this church, my sister-in-law, and I called her out for this in first service. They used to trick me. I would call, and Aaron would get on the phone and start talking to me, and I thought it was Julie. They don't fool me anymore. You know how I remedied that? Years and years of listening to my wife's voice. They can't fool me anymore. Maybe with hello, what's up, but after that, no. I get off the phone. I want to talk to my wife. That's the same way with hearing from God. In the beginning, you're not real familiar. And so a lot of similar voices sound the same, so you need some more of the word and godly counsel to help you understand when you're discerning his voice. Just like I learned to discern my wife's voice, and they can't fool me anymore, the devil and your own flesh and all the worldly voices coming, they can't fool you if you've taken the time to get in the word, to receive godly counsel, to pursue the peace of God in your own heart, and then to believe. I'm a sheep. I've got a shepherd, and he's talking to me, and I'm following him. Will y'all stand with me? Hearing God, receiving revelations, not a formula, it's a relationship. I believe that God has called you to this church to build the church. Really, it's not just building his church, it's advancing his kingdom in the earth. The church are the called out ones. What are we called out for? We're called out to be ambassadors for Christ in a dark world. And as we speak his life, as we share his love, as we hear his voice and follow him, we illuminate the world around us with the light of the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what I love? Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am the light of the world. And then he turned around and said to his disciples, now you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Hey, we may not be on a hill physically in plain view, but we've ascended the hill of the Lord, and his light is shining into a dark world through you and me. We're called to build the church. Jesus wants to build his church, and his preferred method of building is you and me. Will you pray with me? Lord, we want to build what you're building. We want you to be able to use our every breath for the advancement of your cause and your kingdom and your gospel being released into this earth. Oh God, we want to build your church. teach us today how to receive revelation. That you could reveal to us the next step, because your word is a lamp and a light. Because your counsel gives confirmation that we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Because the peace of God ruling in our hearts pushes back the darkness, repels the chaos, and keeps us in the center of God's will. Oh God, would you release upon us right now a deep-seated belief that we're your sheep, and because we're your sheep, we can hear your voice. God, this may be revelation to us today. Let this revelation stick. Let it go deep. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17, you prayed that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd release that spirit right now, the spirit of revelation upon Harvest Christian Fellowship, that we could join with you, Jesus, and you could build your church through us. Oh, Lord, pour out your grace upon us now. We're crying out to you, Lord. We want to obey. We want to follow. We want you to build through us. For Jesus, for your glory alone, and for the advancement of your church and your kingdom in the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to invite our prayer team to come down. I want to invite you to respond today. Some of you may be going, yeah, I'm still in that place where I don't discern the voice of God. Come, let someone pray for you. Some of you may just be like, man, I just want God to show me more. Just come. These people are here. They're godly counselors. They hear from the Holy Spirit, and then they speak God's word into your life. I can never get enough of this stuff. I had somebody pray for me after first service. Come on. It's not a scary thing. It's a life flow into my heart kind of thing. I encourage you. If I was you, I would never leave without getting prayer. I'd make them stay up here till 2 o'clock. Because this is good stuff. I just want to invite you. Receive all that God has for you. Let him open your life to revelation, because he wants to build with you. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.